Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 61, Cash for Clunkers 2.0. What a waste. This one's going to be a little bit unusual in that I'm going to be talking about a possible initiative that's going to be coming out in the U.S. that was actually released before and was done before. I'll be reading an article from a trade magazine. In this particular case, it's called ASA, which is Automotive Service Association. That's a nationwide automotive repair trade association. And the author, his name is Robert Redding, which he is the Washington, D.C. representative for the association ASA. Okay. And then at the end, I'll kind of summarize and we'll go from there. So this is really, I'm kind of doing this one, although obviously down the line, this could end up not really happening. But if nothing else, I just want to educate you, if you're so inclined, about something that happened previously and as far as a nationwide initiative that was out there, and talk to people about. A lot of people think that maybe it was a great thing, and the reality is, unfortunately, is the facts are, is that it wasn't so good. So first of all, what is Cash for Clunkers? Okay, well, it was a 2009 program in the U.S. to offer tax subsidies to get older, gas-guzzling, and polluting cars off the road. The idea was also to stimulate the new car sales and the economy. I'm not going to get political here. That's not my aim. I'm just going to be talking about the facts, okay? But I will be mentioning some names as far as U.S. representatives. Again, I'm not going to talk about whether they're Republican or Democrat. That's not the point here, okay? So if you're so inclined, you can certainly figure that out on your own. So this was this is a article that I'm going to quote the entire article because, frankly, I can't really read it or come up with anything better. Again, this was written by Robert Redding. This came out in the current ASA trade magazine, which was, this is January of 2020. Happy New Year. Okay. So I'm going to read this verbatim, and then I'm going to kind of summarize, and we'll go from there. So, quote, in a recent New York Times op-ed, U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer revisited the latest version of Cash for Clunkers, previously known as the Car Allowance Rebate System. CARS, interesting acronym, a vehicle retirement program implemented by the Obama administration in June of 2009. Originally sold to the public as an eco-friendly stimulus initiative whereby the government buys up older, high-polluting vehicles, post-Clunker White House reports clearly indicated that the program was about selling vehicles and not necessarily related to improving the environment. More on this later, back to Senator Schumer's efforts. Senator Schumer has proposed to rapidly phase out gas-powered vehicles and replace them with zero-emission or clean vehicles like electric cars. The goal of the plan, which also aims to spur a transformation in American manufacturing, is that by 2040, all vehicles on the road should be clean. Senator Schumer went further and described how this initiative would unite labor, automakers, and environmental groups. Missing from this list, similar to their exclusion in the 2009 Obama objective, is the U.S. automotive aftermarket. By the senator's own estimates, this project will cost $454 billion, that's with a B, over 10 years. Although legislation has not been introduced to date, U.S. Senator John Barrasso countered with his own op-ed. He, meaning Schumer, wants to get every gas-powered car off the road and to resurrect President Barack Obama's disastrous Cash for Clunkers program that wasted $3 billion of taxpayer money giving subsidies. Even environmentalists admitted that it had slim, if any, environmental benefits. Mr. Schumer's new plan is 100 times more expensive. He wants to spend $392 billion of taxpayer money to subsidize cars only wealthy Americans can afford. The median price for electric vehicles is roughly $20,000 more than that of a gas-powered cars. Sold as stimulus, the first program was actually a drag on the economy. While the effect on taxpayers was significant, the effect on the air was minimal. Mr. Schumer's plan doubles down on failure. The concept of retiring older vehicles has been around for some time. Princeton University's Dr. Alan Blinder, interesting last name, Blinder, profiled the issue in a 2008 New York Times editorial. Dr. Blinder described cash for clunkers as a trifecta: a cleaner environment, more equal income distribution, and an effective economic stimulus. A less emphasized result of Dr. Blinder's proposal was more new vehicle sales, which would impact an ailing automotive economy. Again, this was back in 2009. What was left out was the aftermarket. The 2009 Cash for Clunkers program cost independent repairers lost sales and fewer parts purchased for older vehicles taken out of the marketplace, impacting both distributors and aftermarket manufacturers. In the Obama administration's analysis of their Cash for Clunkers program, they focused on the increase in sales of new vehicles. According to the analysis, many of the cars' sales were to the kinds of thrifty people who can afford to buy a new car but normally wait until the old one is thoroughly worn out. Stimulating spending such people is very nearly the best possible counter-cyclical fiscal policy in an economy suffering from temporarily low aggregate demand. Where was the analysis of the impact on the automotive aftermarket? The Automotive Service Association opposes cash for clunkers, but does highlight options for the administration to consider. Include a vehicle repair option for consumers programs. Include a vehicle repair option for consumers. Programs should be administered by the states. Vehicle participation should be tied to emissions and improving air quality, and repair cost allowances should be sufficient to address emissions repairs. Cash for clunkers is a bad idea. It did not exceed during the Obama administration and should not be considered by the 116th Congress. That's the end of that article. Now, a person could say, well, gee, Brad, it's one-sided. You're talking from the automotive aftermarket repair industry. Well, okay, yeah. The bottom line is that when this stimulus first came out and was enacted and went through, they never really thought about fixing your car, or helping you fix your car, okay? So the things this article doesn't bring up is the fact that when that came through, and if you turned your car in, instead of it going like would be the normal process when a car is quote-unquote junked, in other words, where it's no longer the consumer, the owner of the car, no longer wants to repair the car because the value of it has gone down so badly that whatever's wrong with it, they don't want to fix. Yes, it can go out on the open market and be resold, and the car still, again, at least in the state of California, it has to pass smog, which there may very well be a point where it won't be able to do that. So at some point, it gets sold to a salvage yard, okay? Well, people don't really realize it, but as an industry, the automotive salvage yard business or salvage business has been recycling more than any other business ever in this country. Okay, if you think about it, salvage yards have been around for a long, long time. And what is it they do? People call it, well, it's a junkyard. Well, the ones that certainly take in cars, those cars ultimately, whether they've been in a collision, which means not all of the body parts are going to be okay because they've been in a collision. Okay, but essentially what happens to cars that are quote unquote junked out is the cars are taken apart and the parts are sold and recycled. In other words, the body parts that are good get sold on the used car part market, which helps to reduce the cost of collision repairs. It certainly helps reduce the cost to insurance companies when a car is being repaired. It reduces the cost to the consumer in lower repair costs and or insurance premiums. Okay. So what happened with these cars for clunkers originally? They were not only taken off the road, they were crushed. Okay, completely. So the entire used part industry lost the ability to have a supply line of used parts. Okay, this is what happened in 2009. So not only did the repair business side of it not have a chance to repair a car, okay, which also meant there was no parts sales, okay. It also means that the used car part market lost out on it too. So essentially, an entire car became junk metal. Sure, it didn't get put back in the ground. It got, you know, melted down, and who knows, the next thing you know, that's your soda can you got in front of you or whatever the case may be, okay? But none of that was considered in the original proposal. And as the article says, and this is very true, that, you know, it was originally written as being environmentally friendly. Well, let's get these gas-guzzling cars off the road and the ones that are polluting and all of that, and we'll sell the people newer cars. The problem was is that no one considered in what pollution is created by to bring a car to market, okay? So, yes, it helped the economy to some degree, okay, as far as new car sales, but it hurt the auto repair industry. It hurt the parts industry. It hurt the used car part industry. And again, people don't really realize it, but as a complete industry, as far as cars are concerned, when you think about everything that it takes to get to bring a car to market, all of the parts, hardware and materials and seats and springs and all of that stuff, there is no other single industry in the entire world that has a big of effect money-wise as automobiles. Okay, none. Okay, when you look at the whole total picture, there is no other industry that creates as many jobs and as much dollar movement as automobiles and or trucks. Okay, none. Okay, so it's really, you know, it's an important thing. And again, I realize I'm talking about an initiative that has not come out yet. A person who's listening to this, I do have some podcast listeners that are currently in other countries. Thank you for listening. So a person could go, well, what do I care? I live in whatever, Singapore, or I live in Thailand or Germany or whatever the case may be. Well, you know, if you're concerned or if you're interested, you could certainly at least be looking out for and paying attention to what your own government is thinking about doing. Okay. Basically, to summarize, that, you know, again, this article doesn't even mention the fact about cars being crushed and all of that used car market being lost, okay? Which, again, like I say, it increases the cost of collision repairs and increases cost to insurance companies and ultimately the consumer. So if you're interested, you know, wherever you may live, you could certainly contact your state or federal representatives and let them know that you want a choice. You want a choice of what car you drive, okay? And you want them to be thinking about the whole picture when they're making these potential, you know, proposed legislations and all of that. They need to look at the whole picture, which they don't tend to do, okay? Some countries in the world have already have plans to ban what's called ICE, in other words, internal combustion engines, in the future. Okay, that's not just gasoline powered. That could be natural gas, hydrogen. You know, most of them are going to be gasoline powered, but an ICE engine is considered an internal combustion engine. There are countries in this world right now, currently, that have plans and laws to ban the use of ICE engines, of ICE engine vehicles, okay? So if you already have a regular gasoline-powered car, at some point that puppy's supposed to be coming off the road. Well, who's going to pay for that, you know? Okay, again, that's up to the individual country's government of how that's going to work, okay? Another thing to do is right now check out episode 34 that I've done, which is called Hybrid Electric Cars and Environmental Impact, okay? That podcast I did some time ago, and I certainly realize that technology is changing, that manufacturers and designers are getting better about designing these different systems as far as electric cars and hybrids and all the rest of it, and that over time they probably will get more efficient, not only in the use of them, but more importantly in the production, you know, manufacturing production and bringing them to market. Because right now, believe it or not, the most popular hybrid is a Toyota Prius, okay? To bring that car to market as compared to a comparable size gasoline-powered regular car, the Prius actually pollutes more, okay? To bring it to market. So obviously our technology and how we bring a hybrid car to market is not very efficient as compared to just a regular ICE car, okay? That's the facts. People can sit there and, well, what about the use of it? And you know, well, it's not, you know, especially a fully electric car. Well, it's zero pollution. No, it's not. Okay. And I talk about this in that particular podcast. So if you want to get some more information, I would encourage you to listen to that podcast as well, because I go more into the specifics in that one. But it just, you know, I realize that technology marches on, and there may very well be a point where we get a lot better at it than where we are right now. Okay. But I think if nothing else, I think certainly in the U.S., we like to have choices, as we should. Okay. The government is certainly not all knowing, all seeing. They're not thinking about the total picture when they come up with some of these different rules and regulations and laws. Okay. So, you know, take heart in that if you care about it. If you don't, well, then you're going to end up with whatever the government shoves down your throat, okay, in my opinion. So if you want to have a choice, if you want to be able to have a choice of what you buy and how you go about your day and how you get from A to B, you know, just kind of keep an eye on that stuff. And you know, again, if nothing else, you could certainly email or jot down a letter and send it off to your state and or federal representatives and just let them know how you feel. Okay. I mean, you are their constituents. So believe it or not, you do have a certain amount of say, especially if they start getting a bunch of numbers of letters and emails and so on and so forth and phone calls. They do listen. Okay. So hope this has been enlightening. Again, I didn't want to get political or anything. I just really, this article came across my desk, and it's certainly something that I've lived through as far as from the auto repair business side. And I thought, well, I know this is not 10 years from now, who knows where we'll be as far as cars and so on and so forth. So in some respects, this is sort of a moment in time type of a podcast. It may not be applicable 5-10 years from now. So, but if nothing else, hopefully it's a piece of history. So I appreciate your time listening. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. And again, you know, remember, I do have an automotive repair shop. I work only on BMWs. It happens to be in Newbury Park, California. And there's a couple different websites. Again, it's called Brad's Motor Works. So if you want to check that out, and that's also, there's, of course, you're already listening to this podcast, but there's some, ways to find out the podcast through other means. This is normally people pick it up on either iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean, but there's other ways, obviously. And I hope you have a great day and a fantastic evening. I appreciate you listening, and hopefully this is give you a little bit of enlightenment about some of the other aspects of car ownership and some of the things that are going on there. So thank you again for listening, and have a great day. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.